Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome back to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. Well, today's not really a quick read, actually. I'm trying something new, and I have written this into an article on my Medium, so I am just going to go ahead and read it. This is the Cryptoconomy Weekly Hash for April 22nd to the 28th. Now, it's not the simplest task in the world to decide which articles to read for the Cryptoconomy podcast episodes throughout the week. Certain days present a lot of topics and articles. The Cryptoconomy space is anything but boring. There may be an important update, but, you know, it's too dry and confusing for audio. Another may be regarding new policies or macroeconomic indicators. So it affects the Bitcoin markets, but they may never even mention Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. I often have to throw away numerous articles that I had hoped I could squeeze in during the week. So what do? Release two, maybe three articles in a day and then overwhelm my listeners as well as myself? Or do I just abandon them and move forward? My article, quote, trash can, amounts to about 20 additional open tabs in my browser that get a spring cleaning every week or so. So this week, I figured I would try something new. I will try to give enough information on these topics and news items that I had to pass up. I intend to be more useful than just reading a headline, but not so much as to read the entirety of all these articles. Depending on how much work this takes, this may or may not stick around, but today we have our first Cryptoconomy Weekly Hash. The ERC-20 contract bug. So a pretty major bug affecting the ERC-20 smart contracts was exploited last week on a few tokens. It's what's known as a batch overflow bug. Luckily, most ERC-20 tokens were not affected, but an overflow bug in layman's terms is one where an output has such a large number that the variable that's intended to house it can't read it, so it basically just outputs as a zero. The bug was uncovered by Peck Shields' blockchain analysis that scans for and flags abnormal transaction activity on specifically ERC-20 transfers. The majority of the market essentially took action and responded within just a day or two, so this all unfolded pretty quickly. This was an integer overflow bug that allowed the attacker to create an enormous amount of new tokens without having the monetary scarcity checked against the transaction. BEC, or Beauty Chain, I'll be honest, I have no idea what that is, was the first victim of the faulty contract, creating a ridiculous number of tokens. It was something like 5789 with, I think, 63 zeros. Other articles on the matter claimed the transactions were seen on Mesh and SMT as well, also coins I do not know, but I have not seen this confirmed elsewhere. And I linked to the article that specifically mentioned those two. Like I said, the response was pretty swift with exchanges OKX, Hobie, and Poloniex, who all temporarily halted ERC-20 deposits. There was speculation the attackers may be able to dump some of their fake coins on the OTC markets, but I have not seen anybody link to specific transactions that show this. It also appears that at least a dozen other ERC-20 tokens were susceptible to this bug, but again, no confirmations that it was further exploited aside from the three or four mentioned. The good news is that most ERC-20 tokens now use OpenZeppelin, which utilizes the SafeMath library, and it is not vulnerable to this arithmetic bug. For the average user, this really highlights the risk in using these networks and how quickly a bug can cause problems in this space, like the more famous Parity bug and DAO demonstrate. Because these systems are completely open, a bug can be deployed across the entire network with just a few commands. It may take little more than an inexperienced developer to make thousands of accounts entirely inaccessible in a matter of seconds. Or in this case, arbitrarily creating an amount of tokens for free that is many multiples of the entire network supply, essentially obliterating the digital scarcity with a flip of a switch. The moral of this story is to be careful. You do not want to be the guy whose wealth was part of the $300 million locked in a Parity wallet when DevOps199 posts, "I accidentally killed it." Bcash, forks, and opcodes. So Bcash appears to be preparing for yet another hard fork. According to a few articles I read, they appear to be raising the block size again. It is currently at 8 megabytes, and they're upping it to 32 megabytes. I haven't read into their immediate reasoning for this. I assume it's just a let's do this now so we don't have to do it later sort of thing. I assume this because the transaction volume is really small on Bcash right now, so it doesn't seem to be an issue with full blocks. But the main point of this hard fork appears to be adding back in some old opcodes or scripts into Bcash that give it more functionality. Now, on the surface, this is an interesting development and could be good, but it is worth noting that Satoshi was the one who removed them because of security concerns. Very early on in Bitcoin, one of the scripts, it was opLShift, was found to have a bug that could crash Bitcoin nodes across the network. And because there were a number of scripts that had not had their due diligence in a serious breakdown of their security risks, Satoshi just grabbed a number of the opcodes that were more likely to be a problem and or less necessary and just threw them out. There was discussion that after a lot more testing and work, they could be phased back in later. But the idea was that the best security comes with doing as few things as possible to provide the highest level of assurance. In other words, make a smaller attack surface so it's easier to protect against potential problems. I like to think of it like the soldiers in the movie 300 who limited their battlefield to a tiny bottleneck in the cliff that eliminated any unknowns and shrank their attack surface to that small area that they could easily defend. Something like Ethereum, on the other hand, with a Turing-complete scripting language, is more akin to those soldiers standing in an open field with hundreds of yards of space between each of them. That does not make defense impossible, particularly if attacks are small, but it certainly does make the job more difficult. So, Bcash, in an effort to retrieve this functionality and open up the developer playing field a bit with smart contracts, colored coins, etc., has grabbed a number of opcodes. It looks like it's 8 to 9 of them based on a few sources, and they're planning to add them back in. It includes a few data alteration scripts, flagging, some basic arithmetic, and a few others. The current schedule for the hard fork is May 15th, and it's specifically the Bitcoin ABC client that's initiating the move. Two other implementations, Bitcoin Unlimited and Bitcoin X, have stated they will make the changes as well to stay compatible with the new network rules. Now, I can't help but think that this is sort of par for the course for Bcash. A lot of what happens in that project seems really derivative. Their, quote, improvements are mostly the regurgitation of code that Satoshi, of all people, decided to throw out. And of course, yet another block size increase despite not really needing it. So maybe they'll do something interesting with it, and because of that possibility, I will keep it on my radar, but I'm certainly not holding my breath. And just to remind everyone to be careful, it may seem cool that BCH is adding in scripts for, you know, data, signatures, and basic arithmetic into Bcash transactions. But don't forget the batch overflow bug that we just talked about on ERC20 tokens. You know, the one that created like 57 septillion trillion billion beauty chain coins? Well, that was the result of a very basic arithmetic function. The question is, do you trust the developers enough regarding these changes to secure a significant amount of your hard-earned money on a network where nothing but the code decides the limitations and law around what you can do with it? There will be more parody-like bugs in the future, so do not be reckless with your money. News around the Ethereum fork. There appears to still be quite a bit of contention regarding the parody bug, quote, bailout for Ethereum. It has been a pretty major point of contention within the community at large, and the vote for EIP-999, the proposed fork to unlock the coins, has been split pretty solidly with no clear path to reach consensus. As I understand it, multiple proposals have been discussed, but the major player currently is still EIP-999. I followed a link and some comments on Twitter last week to people who were discussing an idea to actually issue an ERC-20 token with the amount equivalent to those locked by the parity bug, and then have future wallets simply treat this new token as if it is normal Ethereum. So just like you can tell a wallet to watch for whatever token you'd specify, these would essentially by default watch for ERC-20 Ethereum tokens by default. Unfortunately, Aside from what I remember about it, I cannot seem to find that link again, so I'll have to wait and hope it survives the Twitter cycle and makes it back into my feed sometime. For reference, it was somewhere around, the estimates vary pretty wildly, but it looks like it was somewhere around $320 million that got locked in the parody wallets. So, you know, hashtag Crayful Gang. In both a statement on social media and in an article that lays out their position, the parody team made it pretty clear that they did not want to move forward with a contentious hard fork and did not want to be the cause of a split in Ethereum. They said, quote, "Let us make clear we have no intentions to split the Ethereum chain. We plan to continue to work with the community to find a path forward. We have all dedicated a great deal of time and effort to developing the Ethereum ecosystem and have no intention of harming what we have helped build. We believe Ethereum is a crucial piece of the decentralized web infrastructure and are fully committed to making the platform open, scalable, and safe today and in the future." So, I guess we'll have to wait and see how that one plays out. And then, good news on the regulatory front with a tax drop in France. So, lastly, some good news. I think we are beginning to see regulatory competition rise to the surface within the cryptocurrency industry. This is something that Anthony Pompliano brings up rather often on Twitter about jurisdictions competing for friendly regulation. And France has now declared Bitcoin to be, quote, movable property. The Council of State said that the tax change comes from a new classification of Bitcoin separate from commercial or non-commercial activity. Quote, "The sale of Bitcoins fell under the principle from the category of capital gains of movable property. This effectively lowers the tax to what was as high as 45% on Bitcoin gains down to a flat 19%. It's important that CoinDesk added, I've read about four or five articles on the topic, and CoinDesk added that neither accounts the 45% or the 19% accounts for the generalized social contribution, the CSG, which is another 17.2% tax on top of both. So in addition, it seems Bitcoin mining is still considered an industrial or commercial gain. So it would still follow under the previous rules and the higher tax rate of near 45% plus the CSG. So maybe calling this a, quote, friendly tax is a bit of a stretch. I might opt to categorize it under a less insane tax. And a quote, Le Monde noted that the decision to change the crypto tax rate came after citizens appealed to France's highest regulatory body earlier this year to change the regulations for crypto transactions that had been in place since July 2014, end quote. And that is from the Cointelegraph article. So according to the article at CoinDesk, this case was actually taken to the Supreme Court. Original policies and positions of the French government have been rather unfriendly until recently. They have been working on their cryptocurrency regulations and trying to make the environment more inviting, seemingly as any government would want in order to attract the growth and capital creation in the crypto markets. France also created a crypto task force, which oddly enough immediately proposed a ban on institutional involvement until solid regulations were in place. But supposedly they are working on legislation that will legitimize and possibly even encourage the development and issuance of ICOs. It could be confusion and disagreement within the AMF, the French financial markets regulator. But in just 2 months, they have moved from banning numerous websites that promotes ICOs to claiming that unlicensed ICOs won't be banned, but that licensed ones will simply have to provide a set of investor guarantees regarding how the funds will be used. The overall sentiment appears to be that French authorities are trying to make a friendly approach to crypto and the fintech in general. The president even posted a picture of himself last year with a Bitcoin hardware wallet, and France specifically called to bring up the issue of cryptocurrencies at the G20 meeting. And I link to the, I've got four articles there that I read on the topic. So as you can see, it's really hard to pick. I've literally got four articles for the Bitcoin Cash fork, four for the Ethereum. I go through a lot of these things trying to find the best one to cover. And these were the big points that I wanted to hit and at least address a little bit. Maybe I made this a little bit too long and I should sum it up more. But that'll be our first Crypto Economy Weekly Hash for now. I've left my notes here. These are still really rough, and I just don't want to take the time to clean this up. So if you go to the Medium and you find a misspelling or bad grammar or something, please ignore it. This is just for reference, and these are essentially just my notes. But I do link to all of the articles that I discussed so that you can dig into it a little bit further if you want to. But hopefully I've hit kind of the main overview. With that, though, we will conclude this episode of the Crypto Economy Podcast. That was our first Crypto Economy Weekly Hash. If I do keep these up and I have enough time, I know I won't have enough time in the next two weekends, possibly three. I may throw something quick together, and if I do, it'll be on Friday. If I ever make a habit of this, it'll probably be more of a Sunday release, so that Monday morning you'll have the weekly rehash to go over. Clearly, I failed pretty hard at that today. It's already 3 o'clock on Monday, and I haven't gotten this out, so took a lot more time than I had expected. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll play around with it going forward and see if this sticks. With that, I would actually really appreciate some feedback on this, whether or not you thought this was helpful, because it is quite a bit more time-consuming than just the normal articles are. And I still want to get a quick read out before the end of the day as well. So, yeah, just let me know what you think. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at The Crypto Economy and Medium at The Crypto Economy. And obviously subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and please share it with all your friends so that we can all listen to all the cool Bitcoin articles and maybe some weekly rehashes as well. Stick around. I got another Crypto Economy quick read coming very shortly after this one. I'm finishing up right now. And here's some cool music to listen to while you wait for me to finish. Take it easy, guys.